So we studying together the Ten Commandments movement. This message is inspired by the fact a movement is currently growing in America toward bringing God back to the country, as it has been more than 100 years predicted by our prophet, Ellen G. White. So Sister White has predicted there would be a movement to bring God to the country, because it appears to her that God has been, I would say, taken away from the country. And because of certain things taking place, and they feel like if God were to come back, the country would have the favor of God back. So this movement, according to the writer, will be urged upon the country due to the increasing immorality in the land that causes calamities in America. And it will not just be in America, but in the Americas, in, I would say, across the globe. So what are the main two objectives for this message? The first one is to warn church members about the danger of espousing this movement. Though the movement may appear good in appearance, but when you go down deep into it, you will see that it is not as good as you believe it is. I mean, they are Christians promoting God, so why should it not be a good movement? Well, we will see. So the second reason why I put this message together, I believe that I've been inspired to put it together, is to enlighten church members on the best way to act regarding this movement. So when I came to this country, or in this country, I was not born here. The Ten Commandments were placed everywhere. I mean, you would see them in front of schools, inside of schools, particularly public schools, in parks, in other public places. Then there was a movement to take all these monuments down. I believe that Seventh-day Adventists and other Christians did not like that, to see these monuments, particularly the Ten Commandments, taken down, destroyed, burned. The rationale behind the destruction of this religious monument was that it favored Christianity over other religions, which is prohibited by the Constitution. Is it prohibited by the Constitution? Our Constitution? Yes. It is prohibited to favor one religion over the others. When I arrived here, I understood by the displaying of the Ten Commandments in public squares, this country was a Christian nation, and it is still a Christian nation. Am I correct? Am I talking to Americans or to whom? Is this country still a Christian nation? Yes or no? Shame on you. Yes. We believe that it is a Christian nation, quote unquote, but there is something that we need to understand. When the tables were taken down, I was much displeased. Keep in mind, it was also prohibited to use the Bible and to pray in public schools. So can you take the light down for me? Take them off, the light, those lights. Please. All right. You may not see me, but people on the camera will see me. All right. As God was taken out of these places, when you take God out of the public squares, when you take God out of public schools, what do you think will happen? There will be the satanists and the LGBTQRS plus movement that will fill what? The gap. This man who was a Greek, whose name is Aristotle, he said nature abhors a vacuum, or nature hates emptiness. So when the Holy Spirit, Jesus has given a parable talking about someone who is possessed by the evil spirit, and then people came and cast these evil spirits out. And the heart, the body, the mind of that person is clean and clear. But no one occupied that place. One evil spirit came back to repossess that person. When that evil spirit came back, what happened? He could not get back to that person to possess him. Why? Because it was clean. And Jesus said that the evil spirit would go back to get seven more evil spirit, more wicked than he is, and they will come back to this man, and God and his condition will be worse. You cannot allow your house to be empty, otherwise what will happen to it? My sister, if your house is empty, what will happen? Nobody can tell me. It will be filled with something else. What is that something that will fill it up? Dirt. Spiders. Go to your bathroom. Go to the corners of your bedroom. Go under your bed. Go under your seat and tell me what you see. Spiders. Leave your kitchen without cleaning, and after 2 weeks, you'll tell me what you see. So when, as God was taken out of these places, the satanist and the LGBTQRS plus movement fill the gap, nature hates emptiness. Wait a minute. Was it not the satanist and the LGBTQRS people who sued the states over the Ten Commandments to ask them to remove the tables? Because to them, by displaying the tables of stone, the states showed respect to one religion over the others. How is it then that now they do the exact same thing they denounced about Christianity? They go to schools, they go to public squares, and the same thing that they did not want Christians to do, they do. This is what they call a Hegelian dialectic. He divides to reign. So how is it that they do the exact same thing they denounce about Christianity? They previously said the schools or the Christians were indoctrinating the children. Are they not currently doing the same thing? Yes. Today, there is a reversal movement toward coming back with the tables of stone. What will the result of this movement be? Let us pray. Let us pray. Dear Father, I'm going to be speaking. As a matter of fact, I started speaking. But I feel like I need to feel your presence a little bit better in the gathering. I need your Holy Spirit on the pulpit with me. I'm praying that church members would understand because you're here. And that people online may understand and accept the truth because you decide so. Bless us all. Forgive our sins. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. In May, I delivered a message regarding two main reasons to enact a Sunday law in America. According to the spirit of prophecy, here are the reasons. One, to deal a blow to the prevalent immorality in the country. We must bring God to America. Bring him back to America. This is the first reason for a Sunday law. The second reason I gave you, to solve the problem of natural disasters, what they call climate change. And there's a big movement regarding climate change, not just in America. Wherever you go, there you will find this movement. And to bring one more time God's favors to the earth and particularly to America to cope with climate change, a Sunday law should be enacted. Keep in mind, brethren, that those who want to enact a Sunday law to solve the climate change problem do not even truly believe in God. They are deceived by the first beast of Revelation 13. That by so doing, climate crisis will be resolved. This push will come from the Democrats, while the other push will come from the Republicans. I'm not talking politics today, but from time to time, I may say something that you will qualify as politics, but it will not be that. This message will be based on what has lately been transpired in the world, and especially in the United States of America, regarding a work-free Sunday, which is in essence a movement in favor of a Sunday legislation. Keep in mind that the movement is global, not just in America. By the first angel's message, Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, men are called upon to fear God and give glory to him and to worship him as the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the reason why we're here, because we recognize that God is God and God is creator, and by him being creator, he needs to be worshipped. And those who need to worship him are us, human beings. Says the wise man, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is the whole duty of man? fear God, and keep his commandment. Who said that? Solomon. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13. Without obedience to his commandments, brothers and sisters, no worship can be pleasing to God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So, if you see there's a movement in America and across the globe to bring the Ten Commandments back to the squares, public squares, it has to be a good thing. People believe it has to be a good thing. People believe it has to be a good thing that this Ten Commandments movement is brought to public so that we can serve the Lord. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. So you don't want to say the law of God is done away with, and you say that you love the Lord, even your prayer is what? Abomination. How many people are out there saying that they are Christians, they are worshiping God, and these people coming with the Ten Commandments movement, do they truly believe in the Ten Commandments? We will see that. If someone says that he or she fears God and does not keep his commandment, that person set himself or herself in the category of liar and has no respect for God. How would you fear your government, the government of your country, when you have no respect for the law of the country? It doesn't make any sense. So I want somebody to tell me how you say that you love your country, you respect your government, and then you do not respect the law of the country. That's the same for God. To fear him is to keep his commandment. And the wise man says, this is the whole duty of man. A beast from the earth. Now we're going to go to Revelation 13 and then probably to 14, probably. Let's see. And I beheld another angel and another beast coming up out of the earth. Another. If you say another, what does that entail? At least there is a previous one. At least there is one coming before. Another beast coming up out of the earth. And that beast had how many horns? Two horns like what? Are you with me, guys? Please do not sleep. I know it's a little bit warm here. Somebody may be a little bit sleepy, but please. Like a lamb. When you see lamb, what do you see? A calm, a peaceful animal that will not fight, that will do any wrong, no wrong to anybody and to any other animal. But this lamb has two horns. But there is something, no, that we have never seen in any lamb. That lamb speak what? As what? A dragon. That lamb speaks as I'm talking, as a dragon. All right. Of course, everyone here should know that this beast, the second beast, coming up out of the earth, symbolizes America. And you need to know how America is symbolized by a beast. And it is not any type of beast. It is a lamb. But this lamb does not talk like any other lamb. This lamb talks like a dragon. When Eve was tempted in the Garden of Eden, she saw a snake which spoke to her. You and I know that the snake did not have the faculty of speech or to speak. That it was the devil, the dragon, who spoke through her. I mean through the snake, not through her. Through the snake. Am I correct? Are you following? I'm asking you not to sleep. If you slumber here, you may be slumbering later when things are getting worse. Okay, I'm telling you. The dragon used the snake as a medium to seduce who? To seduce who? The woman. The woman being who? Eve, our mother. Likewise, it is not given to the second beast, the two horns like lamb. It is not given to that beast to speak. The Bible says when this beast is speaking, he is speaking like a what? A dragon. I'm telling you, the snake, the devil, the dragon that was behind the snake has not died yet. The same dragon is still around doing the same thing that he did actually to Eve. So one more time, you know that this second beast is America. Verse 12. And he, America, the second beast, exerciseth all the power of the first beast. The first beast, we don't have time, is the papacy. When we talk about the papacy, we talk about a system. And when we see a religious, a political religious system, and when we see papacy, we see the Pope of Rome leading the Catholic Church. All the power of the first beast is exercised by America. The first beast being papacy, and America is exercising the same power that the papacy had. And causeth America, the earth, and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. What will America do? According to this text, America will cause, what cause means? Force. Make mandatory. Make obligatory. Causes the earth, not just America, but the earth and them which dwell therein. Where? In the earth. To do what? To worship what? The beast. All right. Whose deadly wound was healed? Of course, you know that in 1798, Napoleon sent his general to Italy, to Vatican, to arrest the Pope of Rome. He brought him in France, and he died in jail 2 years after. This is a wound inflicted to papacy. This text explains clearly that there will be a dictatorship regime, or regimen, I'm sorry, a dictatorship regimen where? In America. That will force America in the world to worship the first beast, which is the papacy. To realize that worldly exploit, you better make America great as never before. You've got to have the help of both Congress and Scottish Supreme Court justice. If you don't have their help along with Congress, you cannot do it. You know that the government of America has three branches. The first, the executive branch. Second, legislative branch, Congress and the Senate. And then you have SCOTUS, Supreme Court Justice. You know what I'm talking about, of America. All right. Let's go. The first beast and its power. And I stood up on the sand of the sea, John is talking, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. This one comes out of the sea. The first one came out of the earth. The first one that I just read for you. This is the first one in Revelation 13. It comes out of the sea, which is Europe, where there were many nations, many people. What does the Bible say about the description of the first beast? Having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. We will not be talking about all of this, but it is important for you to get it. And all the world wondered after the beast, the first beast, papacy, Vatican, Catholic Church, and they worship the dragon. Ha! Wait a minute. When the earth will worship the beast, in reality, who will they worship? The dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan. And we got that in Revelation 12. Now. We're talking about worship? Are we talking about worship? If you talk about worship, please listen to me. You cannot be talking about worship without talking about Saturday or Sunday. Because they are the only days on earth for Christianity to worship God. It is either you worship God on Sundays or you worship God on Saturdays. Now, don't forget, it is the dragon behind it that wants worship. And the dragon does not love Saturday. Because if you talk about Saturday, you will be talking about the Creator. And if you talk about the Creator, you will be talking about God. So Satan does not want Saturday. If Satan does not want Saturday, according to you, which day do you think that Satan wants? Sunday, you don't want to speak. You're afraid? Don't be mocked. Now, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power. The dragon gave power unto who? Unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Again, the Seventh-day Adventist belief is that this first beast symbolizes the papacy. We also see that the power of the beast comes from the dragon. Whether it be the first or the second beast, the Bible says their power comes from the dragon. Let me say it again. According to Bible, whether it be the power of the first beast, being papacy, or the power of the second beast, which is America, that power does not come from God. That power comes from the dragon. But America does not speak like a dragon yet. America is not the dragon yet. Are you following? Don't sleep. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, the first beast, and to come overcome them and have power. And when power was given him over all the kindred, tongues, and nations. You know, the first angel's message is for whom? Whom is the first angel's message for? Everyone. Where? Everywhere. All nations, tongues, and kindred. It is the same for the power that the dragon has given over the beasts. over all nations, kindred, tongues, peoples, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, worship the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What was the power exercised by the first beast? Can somebody tell me? What was the power exercised by the first beast? The first beast forced nations, tongues, kindreds, and to worship him or to obey him, not God. Second thing, the first beast persecuted those who did not worship and obey him. Thirdly, this same power will be used by the second beast, which is America, to bring all nations to worship the first beast. There are three main ways America will force people of the earth to worship the papacy, or to worship papacy, however you want to say it. The first way America will do that, by persecuting people. Second, by legislations. Thirdly, by forced miracles. Is that the first time that you heard that America will use forced miracles to seduce people and to bring them into subjection, to obey the first beast of Revelation 13, to worship him? America will use forced miracles. Let's start with forced miracles. People have the dangerous tendency to allow themselves to be fascinated by miracles, by sublimation, or if you want to say sublimation, I don't know how you say it. When miracles are performed, then they believe. If there is no miracle, there will be no belief. There will be doubtful. If there is no miracle, no belief. I must tell these people that the truth does not reside in miracles. There's something here. Though miracles may be part of the equation, but miracles do not reside in the truth does not reside in miracles. If you look for the truth, do not look for miracles. But keep in mind that Satan can counterfeit genuine miracles to seduce the biblically uneducated individuals. The first three miracles performed by Moses and Aaron have been counterfeited by Pharaoh's magicians. Because of that, Pharaoh's heart hardened. Multiple times, Jesus was asked to perform miracles. He said to some, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. In reality, Jesus has given them a sign. What was the sign? Do you remember what happened to Jonah? Jonah was swallowed up by what? A big fish that people believed that it was a whale. How long did he spend in the womb of the whale? You said how many? 3 days. And Jesus said, I will not give you any other miracle than the miracle of Jonah. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about his death, that he would stay in the womb of the earth for 3 days. But people did not quite understand. In another occasion, they said, therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? Give us a sign, we will believe thee. What dost thou work?" People do not believe the truth as it is in Jesus. They believe miracles. As I said, they don't care whether these miracles are true or false, genuine or counterfeit. Just give me a miracle and I will believe. There were plenty of evidences for people to believe in Jesus, to believe that he was the Messiah, but they refused to credit him the sonship to God. Therefore, Jesus would not afford them to be emboldened in unbelief. They claim miracles. Likewise, in our time, there will be miracles performed to seduce those who refuse to believe the truth. Those who will perform the first miracles will not be coming out of the church or the churches, but from within the churches. That's what will make their miracles more deceptive, because they are Christians, because they are apostles, they are bishops, they are priests, they are pastors, they call them reverends, and because of that, they can perform whatever miracles they want to, and people will buy into it. So their main password will be Jesus. Once you say Jesus, everything is okay. We already have touched on that point. This is the second point, persecution. We are back to it, because it was the main power that the church, the Catholic Church, used to quench Protestantism. Today, Protestantism exists no more, except for a few, including some present truth messengers of our movement. For 1260 years, little it is, the papacy has persecuted, expropriated, prosecuted, imprisoned, tortured, and killed millions to force them to renounce their faith in the Bible. 1260 years. This power will be used, the same power that Catholic Church had will be used by the so-called Protestant America, the evangelicals, to force the nation, America, and the nations, the whole world, to bow down before their decree. Remember, the papacy wouldn't have its power if it were not given him by the dragon. Okay? The church used the state power to finalize what? Its demonic project of extirpating the children of God or the Protestants across the globe. Thirdly, legislation. I want to recall you that no nation on earth can effectively enact a Sunday law without America. America, according to both Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, will lead out. Europe is doing its best to enact that law, but in vain. I must say that the world is ready for the law to be enacted. But we as Seventh-day Adventists, we are not ready yet for the last great test, or the great last test, that God will allow America, the American government, to inflict it, to be given to the world, and particularly to us as Seventh-day Adventists. But as we see things are shaping up, we are very close to the so dreaded time where we will have to prove whether we love God or not. There is currently a great movement toward enacting that law, but God's people like me are in a deep sleep. Let's see. Legislative attempts in Europe. The Catholic Church, this is where you need to go. You can take a picture of it, and you will see it. Or just Google it. The Catholic Church in the European Union, Commission of the Bishops, Conference of the European Union, COMECE. Just put this on Google. You will see too much. European Sunday Alliance issues new manifesto promoting a work-free Sunday for all. A work-free Sunday for all. When you see all, you see all the European countries that are part of Euro, a European Union. And among the countries that are part of the European Union, you have what? France, UK, UK is no longer part of it, Italy, Spain, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Poland, and so many other countries. They are part of it. And they are the 10 horns that you see on the head of the beast, the first beast. All right. In view of the European Day for a Work-Free Sunday, this March, the European Sunday Alliance, ESA, issues on Friday, March 1st, 2024, a new manifesto stressing that synchronized resting time is an effective tool to counter loneliness and highlights its importance for the mental health of workers. God has already given this. God has already given us Saturday to cope with those problems. Mental health. Come to church. God will help you. Loneliness. You will see brothers and sisters. But what I'm saying, what is this movement all about? The name tells it all. European Day for a Work-Free Sunday. European Sunday Alliance. All right. I don't want to read too much, but let me read from this. Furthermore, in the view, the same website, in the view of upcoming EU elections, European Union elections in June, this past June, 2024, the European Sunday Alliance calls on members of the European Parliament. What? Calls on members of the European Parliament. When you see Parliament, what do you see? People who make law. And what is this movement asking the European Union to do? You will see. Of the European Parliament and candidates to the European elections to support the manifesto of its steering committee and recognize the value of the establishment of a weekly common day of rest. And they will tell you which day they're talking about by tradition, not by Bible tradition. By their own tradition, by tradition on Sunday at the European level for all citizens. That's in Europe. I don't want to read too much in it. Let me move on. Work Free Sunday, April 12th, 2024, European Parliamentary Breakfast on the Protection of a Work Free Sunday in Europe. Who? European Parliamentary Breakfast. So these people are taking that in charge. On April 10, the European Sunday Alliance, a broad European coalition of trade unions. Sister White talks about trade unions being a problem in the last days. Trade unions, employers' association, social non-governmental organizations, and church organizations campaigning for synchronized free time in Europe held a European parliamentary breakfast on the protection of what? A Work-Free Sunday in Europe. That's why I'm telling you, church members, we are sleeping. Every single thing that should be done before Sunday law is enacted in America, is done or is over. We are the only one being sleeping that prevent that from happening. And I want it to happen. I will preach against it, but I want it to happen. If that law does not happen, Jesus will not come. Let it come. The event was hosted by MEPs, many people, and you will see it. The event in the European Parliament served to highlight, in particular, how, from different perspectives, a protection of synchronized free time, in other words, a work-free Sunday, is a worthy matter, not least also as a tool to fight loneliness. Okay, that was where? In Europe. Give me some more minutes and I will let you go. But this message is important. Do not sleep. U.S. News. New law requires all Louisiana. Where is Louisiana are located in the world. In America, no law requires all Louisiana public school classrooms, to display what? The Ten Commandments. Who are these people enacting a law for the Ten Commandments to be displayed in schools and to be taught to our children? They are the evangelicals. There is a big movement, a huge movement, a mighty movement in orchestration right now in America by the evangelicals to take all the branches of the government on hand. They start from local level, and they will reach the highest level in the land. Okay, Sarah Klein says, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, has become the first state to require that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public classroom, public school classroom. Every public school classroom, the latest move from a GOP. Do you know what GOP stands for? GOP dominated legislature. Pushing a conservative agenda under a new governor. Okay. You mean that there is a push to keep the Ten Commandments, to ask everybody, every school, to display it so that everybody can see it? You see the reversal? They were there, and I told you who took them down. Now they want them back. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Do the churches preach the Ten Commandments? Have the church not preached that the Ten Commandments are done away with? No. I need you to answer. Are not the churches preaching that the Ten Commandments are done away with? Yes. If they do, what Ten Commandments are they talking about now? The reason why they were preaching that the Ten Commandments are done away with, because there is one in it, the middle one, the one that has the sign of the signature of God, the seal of God, the one that says that God is creator, the one that says that God deserves to be worshipped, is the one that they want to take out of the equation. But now they talk about the Ten Commandments. It is not the Ten Commandments of God. They want to come with their own commandments, among which Sunday. All right. In public school, okay, the legislation that Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed into law on Wednesday requires a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in large, easily readable font in all public classrooms from kindergarten to state-funded universities. Even universities are affected. Okay, I need to show you something. I don't want to show that. Hopefully, okay. Where was this document signed? Why did the governor not sign this document in his mansion or in the Capitol? Why did he go somewhere else? Where did he go? Not long after the governor signed the bill into law at Our Lady of Fatima Catholic School in Lafayette on Wednesday. So this is not just a political movement. It is a political religious movement orchestrated by the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. Don't forget, the Lamb will speak like a dragon. Don't forget that. Civil rights groups and organizations that want to keep religion out of the out of government promise to file a lawsuit challenging it. But let me ask you a question: Do you think these civil rights groups will succeed? No. If they file a lawsuit against the government of Louisiana, even if the judge gives them a ruling that is in their favor, the government will appeal it, go to a higher court until they get to what? SCOTUS. Why do you think they want to go to SCOTUS? Because SCOTUS is the one that has the ultimate voice. And how many Catholics are in SCOTUS? Six. Six Catholics are in SCOTUS. Brothers and sisters, we don't have time. I'm telling you, there are too many things to talk about to wake you up. This man, you know him? His name is Ryan Walters. What is his position in America? He is the Oklahoma superintendent. Oklahoma superintendent Ryan Walters orders schools to teach the Bible. Wait a minute. Does not the Constitution say not to favor or to respect a religion over the other ones? Yes. So why is this man, a young man, I could even be his father, ask the one big state to display Bible? Not just to display, to teach Bible to every classroom from, I think, 5 to 12 grade. Brothers and sisters, the reason is that this movement in favor of the Ten Commandments is none other than a movement in favor of Sunday. I cannot show you too much. Oklahoma will require schools to teach the Bible. Teach the Bible? And people may say, oh, this is a good thing. Yes, it is a good thing. But the Bible says not to do what? To do? To collude church and state. You cannot collude church and state, because the Pope is a church and state in himself, because he is a political figure. He is a religious figure. My God. Effective immediately, Oklahoma schools are required to incorporate the Bible as part of the curricula in grades 5 through 12. Now, this man said, if you don't do it, they will fire you. And you will lose your license. That means, anyway, the gospel will be spread. People who didn't like the Bible will read the Bible to teach. And the children who didn't know about the Bible will know a little bit about the Bible. If I were a teacher in Oklahoma, I would be happy to preach now. But be careful. All right. Let me read to finish. Let me read some to finish. I don't want to take more of your time. Let me go. Who is that? This is Justice. This is the highest justice in Supreme Court. Okay? Immunity leads to the dictatorship. Oh, did I? Okay. Immunity leads to the dictatorship. The majority today endorses an expensive vision of presidential immunity that was never recognized by the founders. Any sitting president, the executive branch, or even President Trump's lawyers until now, settled understandings of the Constitution are of little use to the majority in this case, and so it ignores them. You know, there was a decision made this week on Monday that says that the president's past or future of the American government will be what? We cannot be prosecuted because they're immune whenever they do any official things. So, Justice Sotomayor said, no, I dissent. I dissent. Because that will make people become what? Dictators. Okay. The court, six Republicans, handed down a decision on Monday that gives Donald Trump such sweeping immunity from prosecution that there are unlikely to be any legal checks on his behavior if he returns to the White House. Now, let me finish. Sister White says, when Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the Gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall do what? Repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. Now, do you know that when Sunday law is enacted, there will be ruin in America? America will be ruined completely, totally, entirely, totally when Sunday law is enacted. They don't know that, and they're trying to come up with it. They talk about, oh, he's the savior. All right, let's see if he's the savior when Sunday law is enacted. As we approach the last crisis, it is a vital moment that harmony and unity exists among the Lord's instrumentalities. Laws enforcing the observance of Sunday as the Sabbath will bring about a national apostasy from the principles of republicanism upon which the government has been founded. Okay, in the movement now in progress in the United States to secure for the institutions and usages of the church the support of the state, Protestants are following in the step of papists. Nay, more, they are opening the door for the papacy to regain in Protestant America the supremacy which she has lost in the world. To secure popularity and patronage, legislators will yield to the demand for a Sunday law. Legislators will yield, not maybe, not possibly. They will yield to the demand for a Sunday law by the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy. All right, we must take a firm stand that we will not reverence the first day of the week as the Sabbath, for it is not the day that was blessed and sanctified by Jehovah. And in reverencing Sunday, we should place ourselves on the side of the great deceiver. Okay. When the law of God has been made void and apostasy becomes a national law, the Lord will work in behalf of his people. National ruin will be the last thing that I'm going to read for you. Let me take it right here. It is at the time of national apostasy. When acting on the policy of Satan, the dragon, the rulers of the land, that means the legislative branch, the rulers of the land will rank themselves on the side of the man of sin, which is the Pope. It is then the measure of guilt is full. The national apostasy is signal for national ruin. When the state shall use its power to enforce the decrees and sustain the institutions of the church, then will Protestant America have formed an image to the beast, and there will be a national apostasy which will end only in national ruin. Brothers and sisters, can we promise God that we'll stay faithful to him and that we will keep his day of rest, which is Saturday? Can we promise that to God? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the commitment of your children. They say clearly and loudly, they raise even their right hand as if they vowing, as if in an oath ceremony, that they will stay faithful, true to you when Sunday law is enacted, and they will keep Saturday as their rest. Bless them all and give us all to stay connected to you for our salvation and your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.